Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber barbecues. Check out the new season's Weber range at Norwood and Holden Hill.
104.7 Triple M.
It's 104.7 Triple M Tuesday, 6:08. Ruined It's for Breakfast, boys, off on holidays for a week. Jules and Snowy filling in. All with thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber barbecues. If you want to become a barbecue hero, just do what Oggy does. Put your undies on the outside and head on down to Heatworks. Check out their new range of barbies that are on display at Nord. And at Holden Hill, well, what a debate it was, Jules Schiller. Yesterday morning it was, about 11:30 Adelaide time. D. Trump and H. Clinton.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was almost disappointing, Snowy, that it wasn't moderated by Jerry Springer.
There was a Facebook meme that went around.
They could have just got the chairs and they could have been restrained by members of their family as they went at each other. It's so ridiculous the level to which the US election has sunk. And, yeah, you know, let's face it, that's mainly because of Trump,
yep,
because of some of the awful things he said about women and minorities. But it was kind of like watching, he did better than people expected, but it's still a car crash, isn't it? Like his campaign.
Well, like you said, yeah, it should have been Jerry Springer hosting it, because what he pulled out, three women that have accused Bill Clinton of sexually assaulting them after, on the back of him saying what he said about women. Then he's come out and said that he's going to put Hillary into jail if he's elected, because he'll hire a special prosecutor to follow her in regards to the email scandal. And you just think, say anything about policy? Are we talking about how we're going to get us out of debt or healthcare? But none of that.
I know. It's truly frightening. And the bizarre thing is that they shake hands. I mean, she calls him a sexual predator. He says she should be in jail. And yeah, it's like, hey, good debate. That's fine. It's uncomfortable to watch. But I think after this debate, we can pretty much safely say that Trump is gone. He may as well just look himself in the mirror just say, you're fired, apprentice style.
But don't you think? Is he, Jules? Is he really? I mean, he's one of those guys. He polarizes. And I know we spoke yesterday to the Laura from Channel 9, Laura Turner. But he's got huge support for those lowest common denominator people that don't normally vote. Maybe they will vote this time.
Well, there's an old saying in politics that events change the course of political campaigns. So you would think if there's a huge national security issue in the US a few weeks out of the election, you know, maybe not September 11, but something, you know, something below that, then that could open the door for Trump, because he is the kind of strongman of the campaign. So you're right, Snowy, you can never say never. To
Time
quote Justin
tell.
Bieber, to bring him into the election.
Wow,
I'm surprised he hasn't been involved already.
We've gone somewhere new now, haven't we? Hey, it looks like tradies, be warned, bricklaying robots could become enemy number one on construction sites around the country, Jules. It looks like now semi-automated masons, or SAMs, not Sam Max, but SAMs, could be replacing tradies when this US-based company is bringing construction robots possibly to Australia.
Would they come built in with bum cracks? Because that's what I'd most miss. Maybe that's where you put the oil.
Well, no, there's no oil. It's iced coffee.
It's iced coffee?
It's Farmers Union.
Well, this is the thing, Snowy. This is why I don't like it. Because not only does it put bricklayers out of work, but what about the takeaway shop who's selling the schnitzels and the fried dim sims and the Farmers Union in the morning? What about the Highlander where they're going after on Fridays to buy the shots, and do all that? It's going to put a whole industry out of work.
Toyota Hilux, there'll be no one driving them.
Exactly.
You need all these things. It'd be interesting to see what does happen, whether or not this actually does work out or not. But it looks like there's a few actually heading towards Australia to see whether or not this is a possibility.
Yeah, I think this is just a publicity stunt, you know, bricklaying robots and bricklaying, you know, robotic plumbers. That's even worse. The idea of a plumber coming in and, you know, a sort of robot into your bathroom, plunging your toilet. I don't know. I don't like it, Snowy. But let's talk about the turtle, because this is my favourite story of the day.
I'll let you go.
A man in China has been bitten on the penis by a turtle. Do you think he was on a dating app asking to take a relationship slowly? And they said, maybe a turtle. But look, dating a turtle's not bad. I mean, at least they come with their own home.
Yeah, very, very good point. I just wonder, at what point do you think it's a good idea to get out the snag?
In front of the turtle.
In front of the turtle.
Go, I don't know. Will it? Will the head of a turtle looks
looks quite similar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks quite similar. Maybe he put two eyes on the end of it. And said, it's like looking in a mirror. I don't know. It's just, there are so many questions, and I reckon there's very few answers there, really.
There is no answers. There is no answers.
But it's a great dinner party story. Hey, it's so relatable, isn't it? Maybe we should get people to call in with their stories of when they've been bitten on the penis by a turtle.
Please call now, 1-3-3-5-3. There is a video, actually, that's going around, too. So this is legit, Jules. The video shows the Chinese man hobbling towards medical attention after a turtle chomped down on his penis and refuses to let go. So if you do want to see it, it confuses me. At what point do you go, yeah, that's a good idea?
Well, it would take a long time to try and convince the turtle to let go. I mean, they're not known for their snap decision. Really, that's, I don't know. Is that bulk billable? Is it like...
Medicare, please help us out. 1-3-3-5-3, when you have been bitten on the snag by something unusual, feel free to give us a call.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Jules Schiller and Snowy filling in for Ruined. It's the boys are on holidays just for the week. We're just talking just stoning moments ago, Jules, about the man who got bitten on the snag by a turtle. And we thought it's only fair that we go to the phones of Adelaide just to see whether or not someone's been bitten by something on the snag.
If we weren't getting traded to other network before, we definitely will now. After this. Let's just go out blazing, Snowy.
All right, we're not going to go to Pete first. I want to hold Pete till last. But Kevin of Victor Harbour, good morning, mate.
Good morning. How you going, guys?
Good, now, Kevin.
It wasn't you. It was your brother. What did he get bitten by on the snag?
He actually was at the backyard taking a leak, and one of the dogs jumped up and thought it was a hose and bit him right on the end.
Was it a sausage dog? what sort of dog was it, Kevin?
I'm not too sure, but I think it was a chihuahua or something like that.
Okay.
Thanks, Kev.
Did he get a rabies shot? You wouldn't want to be foaming at the...
at the mouth. No, don't go there. Let's not go there. Peter Paralowie, good morning.
Is that me?
Yeah, Pete. Yeah, no, Peter. Mate, turn your radio down, buddy. Tell us, it was your father. What was he bitten by on the snag?
He was bitten by a rabbit.
A rabbit?
Yes, mate.
Well, we know they like... Yeah, sorry, keep going, Peter.
Yeah, being Maltese, he was telling me the story. His mum wanted him to go and get some rabbits to make rabbit stew. Because Maltese love the rabbit stew. You get there?
Yep.
And anyway, so they went out and started ferreting. They put the nets over the rabbit warrens and they put the ferrets down. And they had quite a few rabbits and Dad thinks, oh, I'll just get one more. And he was just going to pack up the nets and that, and all of a sudden the rabbit came out of the wire and past the net, and it jumped up at him, and he put his hands across to hold it there, and it bit him on his old fella.
I thought you were about to say you're out of ferrets.
Wow. I don't know what to say about that. That's but, you know, good on the rabbit getting, you know, it's about to be put in a bit of stew, so it might as well... You know, might as well get a bit of a nick in, I guess.
We'll move on from there, I think. Interesting to see what people have been bitten by on the snag.
Triple M.
Ruined It's for Breakfast for your Tuesday. The boys on holidays, they are back from Monday. Jules Schiller from the back page on Fox, The Project, any other bloody TV show that's running at the moment too. You're on that as well.
Yeah, Married at First Sight.
The Farmer Wants a Wife.
If The Bachelorette goes over 40... I'm in. Guys complain. Guys going through a midlife crisis. Imagine that for The Bachelorette. Just complaining that they've never been understood by their wives.
16 contestants rocking back and forth in the corner.
Exactly.
Top of 16 today with a shower or two. We're here thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber Barbecue. One man I'm sure that doesn't mind a barbecue. And we're going to find out shortly whether or not he does love a good musical. Is an ex-Collingwood footballer who has just brought out a book. It's called Dane Swan, My Story. And Dane joins us this morning. G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks for talking to us. And all right. Congrats on the book, My Story. Is it nice just to be sort of able to open up about your life outside of the constraints of AFL footy?
I'm not sure it's nice, but it's just my book, so that's exactly what happened. So when I was writing, I was like, I might as well be honest and say what happened. So, yeah, it kind of is what it is.
Do you think that, you know, you talk about AFL players, you know, not being a little bit robots, the new Gen Y, they're media trained. Do you think personality is coming out of football a little bit. I mean, you and Heath Shaw especially is a really funny guy. Every time we've interviewed him, he talks about pranks he loved to play at the club and things like that. Do you think that's almost a thing of the past, Dane?
Maybe not internally, as in pranks and stuff, but I think they will go on at all footy clubs. But I guess footy clubs want their players all to preach the same message to the media, to their sponsors, to the community, to their fans and all that kind of thing. So, they don't want anyone upsetting all those people that I've just mentioned. So, yeah, I guess in a way they're trying to control what comes out of the players' mouths, which is sometimes a little disappointing because there are some really funny guys and some great personalities in the AFL. It's just, it'd be really good if everyone else could get to see what we see behind closed doors.
Dane, you're a character. There's no two ways about it. Love watching you on The Footy Show. You've also revealed in the book too that you participated in recreational drugs. Has the club said anything to you since about this that maybe they would not have liked you to have made mention of it at all?
No, I haven't spoke to the club. Well, I'm not a player there anymore, yeah. So... not sure what they could say to me, but no, I'm sure they'll obviously prefer that I never did them. But it's it's my book. I like I said before, I was trying to be as open and honest as I can. Obviously, there's things that I'll never say publicly, but this was as open and honest as I wanted to be. So that's what I said. But I'm sure the club have their views, but I think they got more important issues, mate, than worrying about it than a past player's book.
Yeah. Did you get any strikes while you're in the AFL?
No.
Dane, you talk about the Mick Malthouse, which obviously Buck saga, which fascinated everyone at the time, because we all kind of thought, how do you go from such a successful coach to such a successful apprentice coach? Was that sensitive to write about? Because I'm sure you're friends with both of them, and obviously you're talking about a very kind of personal time. Was that tough?
It was tough because obviously I like to think I have good relationships with both coaches. And obviously, what I said, I didn't want anyone to get upset or to be nosed out of joint kind of thing. But in the end, like with the illicit drug thing, I had to be honest and be true to what I thought. And when I said I still kind of wanted Mick to just see out our group that we had then for Nathan to take over is honest. It's not a knock on Nathan. It's not a knock on Mick. It's just that I thought it could have been handled differently, but I don't make those decisions. That's above my pay grade. So the club, I know the club had the club's best interest at heart, and in mine, it's just if it was my way, I've done it a little bit differently, but it is what it is.
Is Eddie going to give you a few more freebies now? You're not playing, Dane. I mean, you're going to be riding on Emirates or getting a few kind of spots. You're going to be in a few boxes with Eddie?
Well, after the last couple of days, man, I'm surprised you haven't booted me out of Australia.
Hey, one thing that I saw a video of you once, Dane, and you talked about your love of musicals. Is that true? And do you have a favourite one?
Yeah, I have. I'm booked in to see Hamilton in New York in a month, which will be, apparently Hamilton's amazing. I like The Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder was awesome. Aladdin was really good. Jersey Boys, obviously. So there's quite a few. I've seen heaps of them, but I reckon Hamilton's amazing. So I'm seeing that in New York when I'm there in October, on the end of this month.
Have you ever used a musical as pump up music, like listening a bit of West Side Story or The Sound of Music
before you go into or something like that? Yeah.
Les Mis before you take the bill for a
yeah, absolutely. It fires me right up.
Does it really? I dreamed a dream. Yeah. Susan Sound Boyle version.
Yeah.
Dane,
no.
We didn't think so. Mate, we appreciate your time. The new book is out now, Dane Swan, My Story. I'm sure it's going to be an absolute sellout, especially for all the Collingwood faithful. We appreciate your time this morning, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and OVO will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Tuesday morning, Ruin Dits for Breakfast. The boys on holidays just for the week. Jules Shearer and Snowy filling in. Top of 16 today with a shower tour here. Thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber Barbecue. Jules, you can check out their new season range. Right now you'll see Oggy walking around pretending like he knows what he's doing. He has no idea. That's why you chat to the staff. I tell you, a big day yesterday in Australian sport with, of course, the inquest into the death of Philip Hughes, the former South Australian redback cricketer. Jules?
That's right. Yes, it was a painful time for everyone involved, and it's a lot of issues are resurfacing. So we thought there's no better person to chat about this than to Crash Craddock, who is a good friend of mine. I do the back page with him Tuesday nights on Fox Sports, and he joins us now. G'day, Crash.
Nice to talk to you, Jules and Snowy. Yes, it was, as predicted. I mean, I think cricket was fearing this day, Jules. Very tense, very emotional, and above all, very sad.
What is the point of the investigation, Crash? Is it to decide whether cricket was maybe providing an unsafe workplace for Phil Hughes? Is it to try and, you know, have more safety measures?
Yeah, you've struck right at the heart of the issue, Jules. That's what the coroner said in his opening address. He said, we're not here to apportion blame, but in their forensic analysis of the day, it quickly became a finger-pointing exercise, with Doug Bollinger having to answer accusations that he said he was going to kill a batsman. I mean, like, this is the sadness of it all. To me, the players are almost irrelevant in the equation. If you want to investigate, you know, did the ambulance arrive soon enough? That's already been done. And the answer was yes, that's fine. Should you have a defibrillator there? No, there wasn't one. Yes, there should have been one. That's good. But in terms of forensically analysing how many bounces Phil Hughes faced, I just think it's a complete side issue, Jules, and I feel terribly sorry for the players who have to endure it, because there's an underlying accusation of sort of, you know, guilt here, and I don't like it at all.
I mean, what possibly can the coroner's court recommend? I mean, obviously, I mean, that's what they do. They provide recommendations for, you know, how to prevent this from happening again. But Crash Cricket, you know, is about bowling short. They're not going to change the hardness of the ball. They've already, you know, they've already adapted the helmet. So what possibly can it achieve?
That's a question. That's the million-dollar question. Like, I'll sort of almost hold my gunfire until the end of the coronial inquiry. But, Jules, I know what I'm going to say, so I might as well tell you now. Nothing. I mean, there is no villain in this. There is no crime. And there's no unpublished evidence. You know, we're not talking about a murder mystery or anything like that. Cricket has addressed this issue. And if anything, I think they might have overreacted a tad, because there's been one death like that in 130 years of first-class cricket. So the helmets have been remodeled. Players don't even like half of them. And I think that, you know, whatever needed to be done has been done. So I just feel Tom Cooper, South Australia's own, will likely to give evidence today. And that'll be, he was Philip Hughes' flatmate and batting partner at the time. That'll be agony for him. The players have been dreading this inquiry. And look, it's just a genuinely sad thing.
Crash, with these allegations of what Bollinger said, which was, I will kill you, do you think they were just trying to, in some way, shape or form, sort of take the light off what really happened here, which was, it was an accident. That's all it really was at the end of the day.
Well, Snowy, the key point to this whole thing is that the Hughes family are terribly upset and are yet to gain closure for it. And so they felt that the game that Phil was targeted with short balls, an investigation revealed he copped 20 short balls out of the 160 he faced. That's not a particularly high ratio. It's certainly not low. But you're right. Doug Bollinger, look, I don't know whether he said it or whether he didn't say it, but anyone that knows Doug knows he's a sort of a Merv Hughes-style froth and bubble sort of character. He could say anything to most batsmen, and they'd laugh at him. That's a sort of, you know, old, slightly buff-headed sort of character that Doug is. So But when you take that statement into court and reply it, it sounds chilling, doesn't it?
It does.
And Doug didn't deserve that. You probably saw the photos of him leave court. He was awkward in the witness stand. He did his best, but he just couldn't even believe he was there. He didn't even bowl the ball unfortunately took Phil's life. So you're right. To me, that is a total side issue. And as reports of it were coming through yesterday, Snowy and Jules, I actually became progressively more, not agitated, but just really disappointed and frustrated.
Well, I mean, they started with replaying the footage of Phil Hughes's collapse, you know, which was something that the family had to leave the courtroom for, and the player said they haven't seen. And that seems, you know, designed to really cause, you know, a lot of pain crash. How long is this inquiry going to go on for?
Well, I think it's certainly the next few days. David Warner will give evidence. They'll hear different evidence from different medics, probably the majority of the week. But you mentioned the footage of Philip Hughes, but what that footage did confirm, Jules, was, you know, and this is very quite revealing in its own way, that the ball that actually took his life was not that fast, and he was through the shot by the time it hit him in the neck. So, in other words, we're not talking about some rampaging thunderbolt of the delivery here, you know. He was actually through the shot. And the way cricket's been played for 100 years, I'd be surprised if short balls weren't on his radar that day, because he did have a slight weakness against him. And if he showed an additional weakness, you know what? I'd be surprised if they didn't give him more of them, because that's the way cricket has been played for 130 years. So I do not believe anyone has got to answer anything.
Crash. Yeah.
Thank you, Crash. That's great insight. And of course, you can see Crash tonight on the back page, 7:30 Fox Sports.
Pleasure, guys.
104.7 Triple M is ruined it for breakfast.
Players aren't dumb. Some of them are, but most of them aren't.
That might be the dumbest thing you've ever said.
And the 6 till 6 no repeat workday.
Walk on the wild side. Come on. Riders on the storm.
Life goes on.
Here I go.
104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Triple M 728 Ruined It's for breakfast. The boys on holidays till next week. It's Jules and Snowy filling in for the lads. Thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber Barbecues, Adelaide's best barbecue choice guaranteed. Let me tell you, folks, that is absolutely true. Bryce Gibbs.
Gibbsgate, Snowy.
Yeah, it is, isn't it, Jules?
It's all kicking off. It's real narrative, isn't it? We've got a couple of grabs, audio bits of what's happened over the Bryce Gibbs journey. Of course, in 2014, he won the best and fairest at Carlton. Yep. And this is what he said back then.
Over the last 8 years, I've loved every minute of it. And when it got to making a decision, whether it was going to be for the next 2 years to 5 years, I thought, I love this place. This is where I want to play the rest of my footy. If we can get a 5-year deal done, let's do it. So, I was very happy.
Yeah, very happy to stay, but not now. Is this maybe because of young bubs, do you reckon, Jules?
Well, you know what? That's pre-baby. And you and I are fathers.
Yeah.
And we know that post-baby,
everything just changes.
Everything changes.
And sometimes you don't have a say in it, do you?
Yeah, everything. You're just like a bit actor in a drama that you're not scripting. and so post-baby, this is what happened with Bryce yesterday. His manager, Justin Reid.
Bryce and his management have spoken to Adelaide Football Club. He's got a strong desire to come home, but we also respect he's a Carlton football player. He's contracted, so we'll leave it at that for the meantime.
We'll pick 13 from the Blues. For your pick 13, will that cut it?
As I said, we'll have discussions behind the scenes and work through it.
He's officially told you he wants to come to Adelaide?
Bryce and his management said he's got a strong desire to get home.
Have you spoken to Carlton?
We've spoken to Carlton.
Justin Reid there from the Adelaide Crows. Yeah. So last week, no Gibbs, not happening, staying.
Last week it was, we are the Navy, and this week it's the pride of, it just changed his tune. That's the power of free babysitting though, Snowy. You can be on 700 grand a year. You'll take a 200,000 pay cut, but you'll still make it up for free babysitting.
Absolutely.
In Melbourne.
Nana and Papa Gibbs, they got a lot of work ahead of them.
That's right, but you know the real kicker.
What's that?
And this is, I don't know if you're on social media, but a picture has just cropped up on Twitter of Bryce Gibbs and Tex Walker having a coffee in Byron Bay.
Oh.
That's it. That's like when you deny being back with your ex.
Yes.
And then a picture emerges of you just having a quiet coffee somewhere, a little bit of a chat. So, look, all the roads are pointing to him coming back to the Crows. I doubt it could be Power. They don't really have any money in their salary cap, Snowy.
None at all. And I'm surprised that actually Power didn't have a crack at him. It's going to be interesting, though, to see who actually goes, because there's four options, at the moment. Jared Lyons, who's played 55 games, he's out of contract and getting some interest from North Melbourne. Brad Crouch, 22. He's out of contract at the end of 2020. Just signed a four-year extension.
Mm.
He could be possibly trade bait. Also, Mitch McGovern and also Harry Deer. He's 20 years of age, hasn't played anything, but also getting a bit of interest
from North Melbourne. Pick 13, I can't see that Gibbs is, that Carlton are going to trade him for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the Crows already have such a strong midfield. I don't know, Snowy. It feels like it's a deal that's not done. It feels like Gibbs is putting it out there, or his management is to try and make it happen. And yet that's understandable, because family is everything, really. I mean, like Dangerfield did, but you know, I don't know. It's huge if it does happen.
Absolutely.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
It is Tuesday morning, top today of 16 with a shower or two. 11 degrees it is at the moment. Ruined Dits on holidays. Jules Schiller and Snowy filling in for the boys. Thanks to Heatworks, home of the Weber barbecue, if you don't mind. They've got great new styles, colours, and also the secret Heatworks expert advice. You only get that from, of course, Heatworks. You can find them at Nord and Holden Hill, Jules.
Interesting story today, Snowy. A 37-year-old Morford Vale man is on bail. He was arrested after allegedly driving with two couches strapped to his car in Adelaide. How is that still allegedly? How do you see like two couches on someone's roof going, well, allegedly you've got those up there? I think it's pretty effing obvious. Anyway, he did it while his license was expired and the car unregistered. So he's got the full trifecta. If he was underage and drunk, he would have had the full Monty.
He would have gone,
but it's just unregistered. He was unlicensed and dangerous load on the top of his car. And one of the most, it is strange, isn't it, Snowy, when you think of what people used to and still do try and secure on top of their cars to transport.
I remember years ago driving down Main North Road when I lived out at Salisbury. This is going at least 20 years ago. And seeing a ute with a fridge up the back of it. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, the fridge coming forward. But then he had the Barbie somehow precariously hooked onto the tow bar.
Was it on wheels?
So he's only doing like 20 or 30 k's now.
He's dragging the barbecue like a trailer.
no room in the back of the ute, just enough room for the fridge, and then the trailer hooked onto the back of the tow bar. It was a magnificent sight.
There was a period I think it may have been the late 80s, early 90s, where there was nothing you couldn't secure with hockey straps.
Absolutely.
Do you remember that, when you had the roof wrapped? Like you would put fridges up there, crazy paving, grandma, you know, you just haul them up there. And I love when you travel to Southeast Asia where it's just free range there.
It's incredible what you see.
See a guy with a couple of oxens on the back of a tuk-tuk, or someone on a motorbike with a chicken coop and his extended family on his lap.
At 7 to a moped, who would have thought? 1-3-3-5-3. Let's go to the phone to this. What have you seen loaded onto a car? And predominantly this happens in the streets of Adelaide. I think Adelaide would have to be the mecca of putting weird shit to your car. With an hockey strap.
With an hockey strap. Or the back seat, you know, just push a horse into the back seat. So its head is falling out of the window.
1-3-3-5-3. What is the weirdest thing that you have seen loaded onto a car, specifically illegally, please? That's what we do want.
104.7 Triple M.
Tuesday morning, top of 16 today with Shara 2. It's Ruined Dits for breakfast. The boys are on holidays just for the week. Jules Schiller and Snowy filling in. Thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber barbecues. They are one of the best barbecues you can find, and one of the best drivers you can find is in Morford Vale, I do believe, Jules.
Yeah, 37-year-old guy is out on bail after being charged with allegedly putting a two-piece lounge suite on his car. So we've been talking about what have you seen being carried around in a car, and I've just, or a motorbike even. Yeah. Motorbikes are even funny. A quick Google image search, Snowy, because I'm obsessed with this. There's of course, in Asia, one guy on a motorbike carrying four kegs on the back. So that's interesting. That's an interesting way to get some takeaway for a Saturday night.
It isn't.
Forget about the six-pack. Let's go straight for the kegs. And this is my favourite. There's an image of some guy in a motorbike. He's got a sidecar, and in it is a coffin. So he's obviously thought, look, I like Granddad, but yeah. I didn't like him enough to hire a hearse.
Exactly.
He's not worth that. So
I'm creating my own motorcade today. Let's go. Yeah,
can we fit him in the sidecar?
If you've got a story where you have yourself seen something or someone on the streets of Adelaide strapping something to the car that it just shouldn't be done.
Yeah, it's just a bit unusual.
Yeah, give us a buzz. You could win tickets to go along and see Thirsty Merc. They play this weekend, if you don't mind, at the Slug and Lettuce, Concordia College, and also the Royal Oak. You can grab your tickets from thirstymerc.com, or you can ring right now on 133353 to win those tickets. I still love this bloke, though, Jules. We go back to this young guy from Morford Vale, because nothing says I'm a bogan more than driving a Holden Berliner as well. Yeah. And the couch, you know, it's not your leather. It's your real crusty fabric sort of couch that I reckon he would have seen on the side of the road. I reckon it was hard rubbish night somewhere.
Oh, really? Yeah, he's driven around.
And he's gone, right, what can I do? I know, I can fit the two-seater in the boot. I can then pull down the lid of the boot. I can put the three-seater on top of the lid, get out the Oki strap or rope, and his trucking knots are just something to be seen, because I don't reckon, unless the police were happy to help him out with a knife, I don't think he could undo those knots, quite honestly, because they look like they've been seriously put together. We've got coming through on the phone, Rob of Kerrigully. Good morning, mate. How are you? Whoop, Rob, you there, buddy?
Yeah, mate. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good, mate. Hey, what have you seen strapped to the car?
Well, it was a surfboard, but it wasn't a car. It was a guy down on the Great Ocean Road on a motorbike, and he had it across his knees.
Across his knee? So he could just
across his knees.
Yeah, so it was sticking out?
It was left to right, but all it needed was one gust of wind, and it was just going to flip up off his knees, hit his chest, and throw him off the back of the bike.
Wow, could also clothes hanger another motorbike coming the other way.
Could.
That's interesting.
Leanna Paralawi, good morning to you.
Yeah, hey, how you going?
Good, love. What have you seen strapped to the car?
Okay, so you know those plastic shell baths that kids, you put sand and water in for kids when they're out the back?
Yep.
Well, it was strapped to this roof of this car with rope going in through the windows filled with garden gnomes.
What?
He's just cruising down. He's just cruising along Main North Road on a Saturday afternoon with this, you know, plastic bath strapped to the roof of his car, just filled with random garden gnomes.
Was it driven by a creepy clown?
No, it was actually quite a long time ago before the crown clay craze came in, but I'll never forget it. I just thought, is this guy serious? Like, what? Yeah, it's pretty funny.
What happened? Garden gnomes used to be a thing. Are they still a thing?
I think they are.
Do you know,
mate,
people with them?
Yeah, I do actually. Got a couple of people in Harndorf I know that have still got them sitting at the front lawn there.
Still got the garden gnomes, yeah.
Peter of Aldinga, good morning.
Good morning.
What are you seeing strapped to the car?
It was actually myself. We went shopping for a 60-inch TV one night, and I couldn't wait to get home. And so I managed to stand it up on my back racks, tied it up. You can imagine how high that was, and got a lot of looks at lights and driving along.
So it was your TV strapped vertically to your roof.
Yeah, I was told I couldn't lay it down, so I strapped it vertical, so she was sticking up right up there.
Pete, we're going to send you off to go and see Thirsty Merc, mate. I think this weekend that deserves it, buddy. Well done.
No worries. Cheers.
Thanks, mate. 133353, what are you seeing strapped to the car? Thirsty Merc playing this weekend. Slug and Lettuce, Jules, also Concordia College and Royal Oak. You can grab your tickets from thirstymerc.com, but Pete is off to go and see him.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast, the boys on holidays, Jules Schiller and Snowy. Filling in, thanks for Heatworks, the home of Weber Barbie. You can check out their new season range right now at Heatworks. They're located at Nord and Holden Hill, and I'm sure as soon as this weather clears up, Jules, a ton of people are going to go rushing in there to get a Barbie, because it's nearly Barbie weather, nearly. Hey, Pete Perfect, that was his name. Was he the perfect man? We're going to find out from a lady who only knew him very too well. Wasn't actually his wife, but she changed the name via Depol. We speak to the very beautiful Bev Brock this morning. Good morning, Bev.
Good morning, Snowy. That's very, very generous of you. Beauty at my age is a thing far gone.
Oh, come on, Bev. Talk yourself up. Hey, Bev, it's Jules here. There's a lot of competing narratives about Peter Brock's life. Snowy and I both interviewed him, and he was, you know, he's always charming and intelligent and a funny guy. When we met him, how, I mean, I know it's a very difficult question, but how would you try and sum up Peter for us?
Look, to be honest, guys, and I'm not just saying this because he's gone, but he was all those things and a hell of a lot more. You know, the guy that we knew was just an exceptional individual. And to be honest, it was a real privilege to, you know, spend 28 years with him. Was he perfect? By his own admission, no, but he strove very hard to be that. You know, he was his own worst critic. He constantly searched to become a better person and to make the world a better place. And you can't ask for much more than that in life.
Bev, you wrote in your book, and you talk about Pete not being perfect, the book that you described him as, in the early 90s, he had maybe one too many secretaries. I think that's a beautiful way of putting it.
The bottom line of it all is, you know, his secretaries, when they came on board, were usually married or engaged and, you know, attractive young women. But, you know, Peter and I were friends for a number of years before we got together, and I'd had a very close, you know, first-hand look at what his life was, and I knew full well that it wasn't just women that loved him. Men absolutely adored him, idolised him as well. And women pursued him in ways it opened my eyes, because I've got to tell you, this was a world that I wasn't used to. And I was stunned by the way women would carry on. And the fact they did everything, every trick in the book to get his attention. So I would have been absolutely incredibly stupid to have believed that, you know, when we got together that all of that was going to stop. So, you know, and I'm not the sort of person who is a possessive person, a jealous person. I valued very greatly and knew and had complete surety in how he felt about me. And, you know, you know, we'd talk about these things, frankly, and he'd say, Bevo, who would look after me if you weren't there? So, so, you know, I had complete faith in our relationship, and those things on the side were sort of a nuisance that were part and parcel. And I think, you know, anybody who's involved in a public life has to deal with that sort of thing. And even though I wasn't used to it, I had to adapt very quickly to what living with somebody with a high profile meant.
Bev, you talked about his male fans as well. I mean, how obsessive were some motorsport fans over Peter Brock? I mean, there's a trade in memorabilia. You know, people are still selling stuff on eBay. Did you just meet people who were almost obsessive about him?
And they still are. Look, I have to say that the tribute up at Bathurst on the weekend was unbelievable. It was so incredibly emotional and moving. And people are so unbelievably kind. I am constantly blown away. And I think this is the problem that we face today, that because they read, looked, listened to, followed everything that he did, if anybody tries to adjust that story in any way, it doesn't go down well. So, you know, I look at the fans and, you know, I see the memorabilia, which is really sad for us because Peter and I started the merchandising industry back in 1980. We, you know, got in touch with Dick to say, okay, listen, guys, for Bathurst, we're going to produce so many T-shirts, so many caps, so many jackets. Why don't you do it? So we started an industry, and I walked down Merchandise Alley up there on the weekend, and there's all these outlets, none of which we get any return from. It's such a rip-off business that, you know, and I look at the likes of, you know, I spoke to Dick Johnson about it, and, you know, I spoke to Alan. These guys all went through an industry at a time when there wasn't any money in it, and they should be now being able to get a return back from
absolutely
that. Yeah. And you find all these rip-off merchants who go out there and make very healthy livings and don't give back to where it's come from. So, you know, there's some disappointing aspects in it, but that is unfortunately a factor of modern day life.
Bev, what's the one memory of Brocky that you absolutely cherish to this day? You know, whether it was something, whether it was just sitting at home or was it racing, is there one memory that you just cherish?
I guess his absolute humility, and that's not, see, we saw the real person, the person that he kept hidden from the public. The public always saw him as ultra confident and motivating and uplifting. But in order to do that, he was constantly soul searching. So we would have never ending, in-depth, beautifully deep discussions about, you know, what it meant to be the very best person you could be. And the fact that he was totally honest with himself about that. And, you know, I think the fact that we were able to share that on a daily basis is the thing that, you know, sticks most in my memory. Did he always live up to it? No. And then he'd be really tough on himself. And towards the end, you know, only weeks before he died, you know, for him to come to me and say, you know, that he felt he'd failed, that he'd never achieved anything worthwhile, that he'd let us all down, you know, was very, very hard to hear. But, you know, I always knew he was, harsh on himself. And I promised him that I wouldn't fix his problems anymore, that he, you know, that was part of his growth, that he wanted to do it himself. And he just said, he'd made so many mistakes, didn't know how to fix them. And that will forever stick in my mind, you know, that you know, you want to think that the person you really love is happy and content and fulfilled, but he was a perfectionist and constantly searching for something better.
Beth, can I ask
which
about
obviously meant me too.
let's just the dangers of his industry. Ironically, he survived a period when it was very dangerous and died in, you know, an era of more safety. What sort of fear did he have going out on the track every day? And as his, you know, as his partner and longtime friend, what sort of fear did you experience knowing that his life was on the line as he went about his daily job?
Well, that was never an issue. Seriously, never, not even a moment. The guy was unbelievable. He had this sixth sense ability. You know, if you look at his entire racing career, I mean, on the start line at Bathurst in the sport sedans, the tail shaft snapped, or the rear axle snapped, and that was an accident that he was the centre of, but through no fault of his own. But his entire career was, you know, virtually accident-free. And to be honest, I do a lot of work with road safety, and at the end, all the lessons, the things, the principles he'd lived by in terms of road safety and driving and all those things seemed to be missing at that time. And, you know, he'd told me, you know, as I said in the conversation weeks before, that he'd finally retired because he'd stopped dreaming his races and he'd lost his timing and all those things. So something happened where he changed his mind in those weeks. I don't know what happened. But, you know, it was obviously, you know, I have heard from the computer readouts from the car leading up to the accident that everything was so precise that it was like it was computer-driven car. There was nothing wrong. But in that critical moment, obviously everything went wrong. And, you know, that's for me, the lesson in road safety is to, you know, when I say to people, hey, this guy was the best, voted the best driver in Australia in all forms of motorsport, 13th best in the world in every form of motorsport, and yet he lost his life behind the wheel, and he'd spent his life teaching and talking about road safety. So if it can happen to somebody like him, then it can happen to anybody. So we need to have complete responsibility and awareness when we get behind the wheel of a car. So to me, it's a very powerful lesson that he would want used, because he would be horrified at how he ended his life.
Bev, it's been an absolute treat to chat to you this morning. We really appreciate your time. Just before you do go, just quickly, your all-time favourite car that Peter drove, which one was your favourite?
Race cars, I think you're talking here, not his road cars.
No. Okay. Not the Barina. He drove when he was 15.
Or the Lion either. No. His all-time favourite, I guess, would come down to the Big Banger, which is voted by everybody really in motorsport as the most iconic race car there was. So that's a special one.
Beautiful stuff. Really appreciate your time, love. Really appreciate it indeed. Bev Brock there.
Roo and Dits have given away serious cash with the pressure test on Triple M.
Let's see if we can now give away $500.
Well, we haven't done it this week.
10 years! Nobody will see! And now, they're releasing the pressure while you work with $40,000 on the line.
Ah, you little ripper. Thanks, boys.
Good on you, mate.
Take the pressure test.
10 correct answers in 30 seconds to win $500 cash.
Weekdays at 7, 8, 10 and 2. 104.7 Triple M.
Top of 16 today with a shower of 2, 11 at the moment. It is Snowy and Jules filling in for Ruined Its. The boys are back from Monday thanks to Heatworks at Holden Hill and also at Nord. If you want a web, you've got to check out their latest range. They've got them on display. Well, Jules, you are throffing at the mouth because tonight, and you can see the game live on Fox Sport 505, ad break free and in HD, the soccer tonight, Australia taking on Japan.
Yes, it's always weird watching the soccer as Japan game, Snowy, because I'm sledging the Japanese while at the same time appreciating the high quality HD pictures on my Sony TV. So it's kind of conflicted. But there is only one man that we need to talk about to preview this game, the biggest game, probably the biggest home qualifier fixture we have in this World Cup campaign. Mark Bosnich joins us. I'm so excited.
Good morning. Good morning, Jules. Good morning, Snowy. Hey, sorry about the noise in the background. That's our wonderful Melbourne Tramps.
Love it. So, Bozza, I mean, there's such a history between Australia and Japan, and we all think back to Kaiserslautern and Timmy Cahill scoring those two goals off the bench. But surprisingly, we haven't beaten the Japanese for, what is it, 6 or 7 years? A lot of draws?
I think it's 2009 or 2010. I'll have to check it completely. But, the last time we beat them was here at the MCG when Tim Cahill popped up and scored two goals. So it's been a long time between drinks for us. It is the biggest rivalry for us anyway. In the Asian Confederation. And Japan have had a bit of a shaky start. They lost 2-1 at home to United Arab Emirates. But they're only 1 point behind us on 6 points, along with the UAE. And, of course, Saudi Arabia and ourselves are both on 7. It's a crucial game tonight. I don't think we can afford to lose tonight. If we do lose tonight, it's going to put a severe dent in our bid to qualify for Russia.
In Tim Cahill, will he come off the bench again? What's the word? He has been doing that.
That's the word in the papers down here in Melbourne. Me personally, if it was down to me, I would start him. So not only from a psychological point of view, but even physically, all the teams in Asia and pretty much around the world are very scared of what he can do in the box. He's our gun man. He's our main man, and I would start him in a big game. Big game for big players, and Timmy is that.
What's your prediction then? How it will play out tonight, Boz?
I think it will be a draw. I think Japan, like I said, although they've had a shaky start and in their second game they only beat Iraq 2-1 with a goal in the last, basically the 95th minute. So their coach, Halley Hodges, has been complaining about that, you know, quite a few things. And there was rumours that if they hadn't beaten Iraq, that he might have even got sacked. But I think for big games, they've got big players. They've got Shinji Okazaki, who played for Leicester. They've got Shinji Kagawa, Kazuki Honda. They will lift for this game as well. So I think it might be a draw.
Did you make a name up then? Did you say Suzuki Honda?
No, I did not. Kazuki. Kazuki. Kazuki, yeah.
I thought Boz was taking the piss out of us.
No. Kazuki.
Boz, how emotional? I mean, you have to be kind of, you know, objective, I guess, because you're pundit, for Fox Sports. But how emotional do you get watching the Socceroos off the air? Because you're a great supporter of Australian football.
I am. Yeah, you do. Look, it's a different feeling. Growing up in Australia when I did, before I went to England in the 80s, not everyone, majority, but not everyone considered, because of my last name, considered myself as a true Australian. So they gave you more impetus to not only to play for Australia, but to be Australian. So, and now watching as a fan, and I remember watching when I was a young kid as well, and you go back to what you were as a young kid, it gets very, not only emotional, but, you know, the hairs, and you get very nervous. I got more nervous watching games than I had when I was playing. So it's a great feeling. When they built out that national anthem, Advance Australia Fair, and you see the crowd standing up and singing it as one. And I remember the same at a Danny Green fight when he fought against Roy Jones Jr. It really is spine-tingling stuff. So you can afford to be overly emotional when you're a fan. But as a player too, you've got to make sure you keep your emotions in check, because that takes energy out of you. And sometimes you can be running around for 30 minutes with all that emotion and not knowing what you're doing. So it's a big job for them tonight. There'll be a packed house at Etihad Stadium. So hopefully for Australia's sake and for our sake, we win tonight.
All right, Bozza. Well, like you said, it starts at Fox Sports. It's ad-free, high definition at 5:05. I think it kicks off at 7 p.m. tonight. Make sure you pay your tram fare, Bozza. Tap off that Mikey card. All right.
Now you said that, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to jump on it and see if I can get it right.
You bloody thrill seeker, you.
All right, Bozza. We look forward to seeing you tonight. Great game. Socceroos v Japan.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
Good on you, Boz. The man. Watch him.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Jules and Snowy filling in for Ruined Dits. The boys are back from Monday, just on a week's holiday. Thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber Barbecue. Jules, Road Raise started back in 2015. The idea was to raise vital funds and awareness for Canteen, and Duncan Bashir Hannon are a part of it again for the second year running, hoping to raise $150,000. And one man that's doing it 50Ks out of Portland, Ryan O'Keefe from the Adelaide Crows, used to be the former Sydney Swan player. G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good.
Much chafing, Ryan. How's the body holding up? Oh, this right. What a great introduction, chafing. But how's the body holding up?
Hello, Ryan. You there? Hello. Oh, we've got him. You there, buddy?
Hi.
There we go.
Yeah, sorry. Just that's in right. The middle of a forestry, just out of Boston, so the reception's not the greatest.
Yeah. Did you hear the question? I just wanted to mention chafing again. I can't get that word enough on the radio. How is your body holding up?
The body's holding up fine. The trips are doing really, really well. So great effort. So, we'll get into Warrnambool tonight and have a bit of recovery and then along the Great Ocean Road tomorrow.
Mate, what's your reason for wanting to be a part of this?
I did it last year as well. They come to me and ask whether I'd love to and join, and I thought, yeah, what a great opportunity to help such a great cause. Opportunity for me to give something back. And yeah, it was good. So I enjoyed it so much, thought I'd better do it again.
Ryan, what about some of the other people on the ride? We know that Matt Gilbertson, aka Hans, is on the ride. Is he doing it well? Is he annoying people? How's he travelling?
Hans is doing great. He's doing a good job. He's doing very well. And it's great. We've got a great mix of people doing it from all different walks of life. And they're just, you know, it's a thing about getting out of your comfort zone. There's a lot of people out there going through a lot more harder times than we are. And if we can put ourselves out of our comfort zone to, raise some good funds and awareness, I think it's all the better.
Now, the hope is to raise $150,000. So far, $130,000 has been raised. And I hear also, too, that in your bike kit, you've also got a contract for Bryce Gibbs as well. You'll meet with him when you get to Melbourne?
I'm not sure if he's going to be on this road along the way. Hockey hasn't called me yet, so I'll wait for that message.
Beautiful stuff.
Ring Tex, because Tex is having coffee with him at Byron Bay at the moment, Ryan. So.
Okay, Byron Bay is just a little bit out of my way at the moment. I don't think I'll get there next week.
No worries, mate. Ryan O'Keefe there, 50Ks out of Portland on Road Raise. You can donate at roadraise.com.au and all funds go towards Canteen, which is absolutely fantastic. Mate, we're out of here. We're done and dusted. Only one complaint, so we must improve tomorrow. Wag, happy birthday. She's having her birthday. Oh. 21 again, she said.
Oh, happy birthday, Wag, as well. And let's hope we're not traded to a radio station 50K out of Portland tomorrow, Snowy.
What a career highlight.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our podcast, thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber barbecues. Check out the new season's Weber range at Norwood and Holden Hill. 104.7 Triple M.